What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. We're joined for today's Culture Club by Martin Hayes. I'm sure you recognize him from The Gloaming. He's published his new memoir, Shared Notes. But before we talk to him about that, let's hear a little bit of music by The Gloaming. This is The Sailor's Bonnet. The Sailor's Bonnet. Martin Hayes, are you back performing yet?
Well, bit by bit, in small ways, you know. I did a little bit at this year's Kilkenny Arts Festival, and we'll have been doing a little bit at the concert hall, and so just small bit. It's coming back gradually, you know. But
as a performer, how much did you miss it over the last 18 months, playing in front of large audiences?
Well, I think, you know, I do miss performing, and I miss the... What's interesting about performing, like in front of a live audience, is that you start to play, there's no looking back. One must go forward through it, mistakes, errors, mishaps, anything. But you just keep going through it, and there's a kind of an energy to that. And there's also just the adrenaline of it. And for me, performing is a time when new things happen, and it's a creative time. And it's kind of like, I think I nearly learned how to play sitting on a stage, tell you the truth. But it's a time of kind of opportunity.
Hang on, somebody as accomplished as you, do you actually make mistakes? But if you make mistakes, is it only you know you've made a mistake?
I can make huge, enormous ones. I think the key is that I don't care so much. And because I don't care about making mistakes, I maybe don't make as many as I might ordinarily. But mistakes are, you know, to err is to be human. And I tell students sometimes about this story about Indian carpet makers, that they would weave a flaw into their carpet to let the heart out, meaning that, like, anything so completely perfect that it didn't have the natural human flaw within it was somehow lacking. Like, we're not looking for absolute perfection, we're looking for your best effort, but we want to see the humanity in things. So natural flaws are a normal and natural thing, I believe.
So the book, your memoir, Shared Notes, is this a lockdown book, something that you got the time to do when you weren't performing?
Yeah, I mean, like, this probably couldn't have happened at any other time, because I don't know that I would have been able to set that time aside in the way I did, at least in one concentrated chunk anyway. So yes, it's a lockdown book.
What prompted you to do it?
Penguin asked me.
It still has to be a desire to write and to evaluate all of the things that have happened throughout your life.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Now, in reality, I had been approached by another publisher previously, but I had procrastinated so long as that they just gave up. And but through that process, I teach a lot and I talk a lot about music, and I thought I might use the book as an opportunity to kind of delve into that world of music and explain something of the reality inside the traditional Irish music world, you know, and give my ideas on that. And I hadn't planned on writing a memoir at all. I just wanted to talk about music, but I couldn't find the right vehicle. So in the end, I accepted the idea that a memoir might actually be the way to go, which was what Penguin were suggesting to me. So I did, you know, I didn't think my story was very interesting, but anyway.
And as you wrote it, did you find yourself becoming more interesting? How did you find yourself when you actually did start writing?
Oh, it was fascinating. No, I'm kidding. What was interesting was that I remembered way more than I thought I did. And when you start to kind of do that journey of going back into your memories and writing, you know, as you unearth one thing, another thing related begins to unearth itself. And the other thing was like figuring out the chronology of one's own life. You know, when did this actually happen? And
yeah, how reliable are your memories?
Well, I did a lot. I had a whole document called Chronology sitting beside me while I was doing the book, which was, okay, so I remember 1969, Milton Malbe sitting on the stage of the Tullichaly Band because it was the night of the moon landing. Okay, so I got that. Okay, there are lots of other events, like, you know, when I was in school, when I went to secondary school, what in sixth class, where was I in fifth class, you know.
And presumably that chronology kept expanding as well.
Oh, it did, yeah, and I kept adding stuff into it. Like, and I even did such things as look myself up in Wikipedia, if you don't mind. And so just find out, when did you actually make that record? Okay, that's when that came out. All right, okay. And then I actually have a digital calendar that goes all the way back through a big chunk of my career.
That was useful.
So yeah, I was able to actually check the dates all the way back to 2000 and before.
Okay, well, given that you've checked so much, you have a great opportunity for our culture club to actually remember the various the answers to the questions we've asked, such as first single. And then you turn around and you tell us you can't even remember even buying a first single.
Well, because I didn't buy one. I never bought a single. Because, like, singles were, I suppose, basically a pop music medium at the time, and they were usually in advance of an LP or whatnot. And so I was purely listening to trad music, and they weren't releasing singles at all. So they were all LPs, but the only singles I had were 78 RPMs that were there in the house from when my dad was a young man, and so I was listening to those records as well. So, you know, I was.
Did you have much interest though in pop music or other forms of music, or was it from an early age it was solely traditional?
It was solely traditional. I didn't have an interest in other music at all, and just, you know,
it came in time though, didn't it?
Oh, of course, yeah.
As we'll see from your various choices.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, music is a big, broad world, but I started out completely immersed in traditional music. It was just like what I grew up in. And for whatever reason, at whatever young age, I just really connected with that music and got to know the tunes really well in my head. I could sing them before I ever could play a tune on the fiddle, in a sense, you know. So I was, you know, it was kind of, I don't know, it was just the thing I was into. I couldn't understand why everybody else didn't love it as much as the Beatles or whatnot, you know.
Are you self-taught on fiddle?
No, well, not really. I mean, and on one level, yes, and another level, no. I'm not self-taught in that I grew up in the house with a father who was a fiddle player, and he sat in front of me, and the way I learned was he would play a bar of a tune and I would imitate him. And but he didn't necessarily explain what he was doing or how he was doing it or anything like that. So the initial part of it was just watching, observing, absorbing, imitating. And then at a certain point, it was like I go lock myself in a room with records and learn more and more tunes and stuff. And then it turned from my father showing me things to kind of us talking about music and kind of sharing ideas about music and what we liked in certain tunes and what note was really going to make a melody or not, you know. So in a sense, there was very little instruction on how to actually play the fiddle. So that was common in Irish music. So you had like lots and lots of fiddle players really creating their own way with the instrument. You have people like Tommy Peoples, Tommy Potts, Paddy Glacken, Junior Crehan, Bobby Casey, you know, Frankie Gavin, they all sound different. And that's because they all had to make their own way with the instrument on some level.
Give us a favourite album.
Of traditional music?
Well, the favourite album.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's kind of like The Liffey Banks by Tommy Potts is a very obscure recording. But to many of us in the world of traditional music, it's kind of a holy grail, you know.
And, why is that?
Because he's kind of like our John Coltrane, in a way. He's of a depth of soul and experience and freedom that very few of us reach. And so when I hear it, it might not be the kind of music that everybody will enjoy. In fact, I know very few people will enjoy it, but and not that many people actually listen to John Coltrane either. But should you actually listen enough and penetrate it, it's as if a complete universe of expression and feeling opens up in an extraordinary kind of way.
So we're going to have the title track of the Liffey Banks, all 78 seconds of it.
There you go.
In its entirety, Tommy Potts' solo fiddle recording, the Liffey Banks. What does that do for you now listening to it?
It brings me home. When I was a child, he used to visit our house. It also brings me into the beauty of the melodies and the possibility of the melodies. It's probably something that's coded for us who play the music. I don't imagine that it's even many traditional musicians don't care for that album, but for a certain group of us, it's kind of just a key.
We asked you for a favorite band, and you've nominated Radiohead.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I mean, like my interest in music has expanded a lot over the years. But I found, you know, Radiohead when it came out and when it was happening, like, I thought, wow, this is just like a whole other level of creativity here and a whole other sonic world and just, you know, something I couldn't have imagined beforehand. So I was fascinated by that.
And the way that they've evolved in a period of 20, 25 years as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The track that we have is from OK Computer. This is Karma Police. By Radiohead from OK Computer. Martin Hayes is with us for the Culture Club. There's been many guests on the Culture Club have given us Radiohead over the years, but I suspect you could have given us a long list of favourite bands, could you?
Oh, there's no end to it, really. It's like there's no such thing. Like, it's people would ask me, what's your favourite tune? And I'm going, oh God, I don't know. We'll see what first comes into my head when I play, maybe. But I don't have very good favourite list like that, you know.
Okay, well, best concerts. I mean, you did give us a couple of very interesting choices for best concert as well, which again might be a little bit unexpected to people. Rory Gallagher is the first one you gave us.
Yeah, well, I write a little bit about it in the book, actually, about a night in Chicago when I wanted to go see him, because my friend, one of the colleagues in the Tullochaley band, believe it or not, was a huge Rory Gallagher fan. He was a musician my own age, Andrew McNamara. So he had been like indoctrinating me with Rory Gallagher from my late teens on, and I was like, you know, kind of getting into it, kind of connecting to it. And I'd never gone to see Rory Gallagher, but I'm in Chicago at this stage and I see Rory Gallagher is playing in town. I go, I gotta go see this. I get there, there are no tickets, so I have to really spend a long time bargaining my way into that venue. And I eventually bribed my way in, I would think, you know, in the end. And I got in and the concert was already underway when I got in. But Rory Gallagher was up on the stage there. And I suppose the abiding image was like of somebody with absolutely nothing held back, like completely freely giving 100% of his energy and person and being on the stage. And I just kind of, there was something about it in that moment that just grabbed me in a way and just kind of woke me up to the real nature of real musical performance, you know, what that could be, you know, even though the music is utterly unrelated to how I play or what's actually dear to me. But I've over the years learned that, you know, if you're looking inside your own little world, you won't always get the messages you need to get. And there's a world of information all around you in all kinds of areas. So you need to have an open mind and an open ear, I suppose, for that. But Rory Gallagher on that night in Chicago was, I was very proud of him as well, because Chicago is that big blues town, you know, and they adored him. And
Many people regard him as one of the greatest electric guitarists ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he was. He was a kind of a national hero in that sense, you know, and I was very proud of him and very proud to see it so powerfully on display in Chicago that night.
Let's hear him, a live version of Messing with the Kid. Maybe what he used to do for rock and blues, the electric guitar, is not too far removed from what you do with the fiddle.
Well, you know, music is music, you know, that is the main thing. And music is energy and it's connection and it's power and it's emotion and it's all of those things. And it just comes out in all these different forms. But you can always learn from like every genre of music, really.
You also gave us a Stevie Wonder concert that you saw in Connecticut as a suggestion.
Yeah, you know, it was like I would have thought that I hadn't really listened to Stevie Wonder much, you know. But when you go to a Stevie Wonder concert and he starts playing All These Hits, you go, oh God, I know that one too. Oh God, I know. You know, like suddenly, wow. But the power of that rhythm and groove that came off of that stage with Stevie Wonder was actually astonishing. Like, I'm very kind of reserved and stuff, and I don't get to my feet so easily. But I was on my feet, you know, and I was going, holy God, like it went on for hours and it felt like a half an hour and it could have gone on for another couple of hours as far as I was concerned, you know. So Stevie Wonder was actually amazing. And they played Giant Steps, this jazz tune, like this John Coltrane jazz tune that's like one of the hardest like jazz tunes to really master Giant Steps. And I'm listening along. The next thing, the band takes a break and plays Giant Step. And I go, who are these people? Like, who are these musicians? It was just incredible. Anyway, loved it.
Okay, Martin Hayes is with us for the Culture Club. He's written his memoir, Shared Notes. And we're going to move away from music into other areas of his cultural life when we come back after this break. Welcome back. Martin Hayes is with us for the Culture Club. Of course, you know him as one of the great fiddle players, also from the gloaming, and he has written his memoir, Shared Notes, which brings us to books. Our author, do you read a lot?
I tend to read like kind of non-fictiony type books. I tend to be that way, you know. Yeah, so.
And anything that sticks out in particular for you?
The Journey to my Father's Home. By Patrick, what's his...
Patrick Joyce.
Exactly, yeah, sorry. And I was talking to him the other day on the phone, actually, about it. And we have some mutual friends. But I was reading his book, and it was in context of having written a book, you know, makes me actually look at writing in a whole new way. And the other thing was that he covered a lot of subject material that was very close to what I was trying to get at in my own book. And I found it really fascinating. And he did a really brilliant job.
Sorry, what sort of subject material?
Well, the people of the West of Ireland. Now, of course, he was talking a lot about immigration and politics in his book and a lot of different social issues. Like, but the way of life, the I suppose the nobility of the peasant consciousness in some ways, you know, he kind of had a way of unearthing that I found very interesting in his book, you know.
Okay. Now, favourite player musical?
I don't have one.
Really. That's fair enough. Like, you don't have to have one.
I don't really... Like, you know, I don't get to go to plays very often. Of course, I'm living in Spain, so I'm not, you know, like, I probably wouldn't be able to follow it well enough to do it. And musicals, I saw The Producers. You know, I don't know. I have much experience.
How long are you living in Spain?
I've been there about 6 years.
Why?
My wife is Spanish.
Okay.
She's from Madrid, although I met her in County Clare, and she had lived in Ireland for a long time. But for the last few years, we've been in Madrid and really enjoying it too.
Very different from Clare.
It is, yeah, it is.
But difference is good. Okay, have you a favourite movie to offer us?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like my default mode is comedy, you know, and I love humour and I love to laugh. And like in terms of comedy movies, I keep going back to The Big Lebowski. Like I just, I'm endlessly amused by the dude, you know.
Well, you can tell us a little bit more about why you like it after we have played a clip. We're going to play the bowling alley scene from The Big Lebowski with Jeff Bridges, John Goodman and others. And we have to give the obligatory language warning for this.
Over the line!
Huh?
I'm sorry, Smokey. You were over the line. That's a foul.
Bullshit. Mark at 8, dude.
Excuse me. Mark at 0 next frame.
Bullshit, Walter. Mark at 8, dude.
Smokey, this is not nom. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
This is a league game. This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over. Give me the marker, dude. I'm marking an 8.
Smokey, my friend. You're entering a world of pain.
Walter, man.
You mark that frame in 8, you're entering a world of pain.
I'm not.
A world of pain.
Look, dude, this is your partner.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Mark at 0.
They're calling the cops, man. Put the piece away.
Mark at 0.
Walter, put the piece away.
Walter?
You think I'm fucking around here? Mark at 0.
All right, it's fucking 0. You having, you crazy fuck?
It's a league game, Smoke.
Yes, we could give you the language warning. Possibly John Goodman's best ever performance. I watched it again during lockdown and it is mad, but
it
brilliant.
Is, yeah, it is very funny. There was the funny line there. I mean, Goodman keeps going with that line. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? And Jeff Bridges responds and says, no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're an asshole. And in the gloaming, then we I don't know how this got into our kind of dialogue, like backstage or on the road. You know, it would be, you know, you're not wrong. Like, if somebody said to you, you're not wrong, he was caught
the, the unspoken
yes,
bit.
You are an asshole. Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong. So, Earlo Leonard will be familiar with that one.
But you all still get on well.
Oh, we do, yeah.
Right. What about television? We ask people from favourite television as a child and favourite now. Go back to childhood for us first.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, childhood. Yeah, we had a television before. We had many other things in the house. But yes, I remember like being young enough to enjoy Wanderley Wagon and the Reardons. So, it's like I couldn't really pick a favourite TV show, because at what age of your life would you decide that the favorite thing was?
Yeah.
I watched all of those things growing up, just like everybody else.
And then to adulthood, given that you say that you love humor and you've picked The Big Lebowski for us, I see your favorite TV show is one of the funniest sitcoms ever made.
Yeah, Seinfeld. Yeah, I didn't watch much TV when I was living in America, and I had no interest in sitcoms. But I don't know how I got hooked on the Seinfeld thing, but I found it irresistible. And as time went on, the characters grew on me, and of course, the characters themselves developed, and I just found it hilarious. You know.
And you know, it's all available now, start to finish, on Netflix.
I've started again.
Have you?
I have. Yeah.
Has it dated in any way for you?
Well, of course it's dated, but it's still just as funny. And, it's like Jerry is neurotic, and like I think neurotic behaviour will be around forever, you know. And, so there's all kinds of, parts of it are dated, but it is, I think it'll stay funny for a long time.
OK, we'll have a bit here from Seinfeld featuring Jerry Seinfeld in a confession box.
No.
Tell me your sins, my son.
I should mention that I'm Jewish.
Well, that's no sin.
Oh, good. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about Dr. Whatley. I have a suspicion that he's converted to Judaism purely for the jokes.
And this offends you as a Jewish person?
No, it offends me as a comedian. And it'll interest you to know that he's also telling Catholic jokes.
Well,
and they're all jokes. I mean, the Pope and Raquel Welch in a lifeboat.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh. Oh, I'm sure you have. They're out on the ocean and yada, yada, yada. And she says, those aren't buoys. Father.
One second. If it would make you feel better, I could speak to Dr. Whatley. I have to go back and have a wisdom tooth removed.
Good luck. You know the difference between a dentist and a sadist, don't you? Newer magazines.
That's funny. Now, if you would excuse me.
Seinfeld, excellent. Okay, to finish, Martin Hayes, I'm going to ask you for a podcast. Do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I do. Well, on and off, you know, I go through phases of listening to them. I mean, there isn't time to be doing all these things, really, you know, so sometimes I do it. And when I do, I tend to listen to The Daily, the New York Times podcast. Of course, I lived in America for 26 years, and I do have a kind of political curiosity and a bit of a political junkie, so I follow things, and they're quite good, you know.
Martin Hayes, it's been great having you here for the Culture Club on The Last Word of Today FM, as well as being on radio. This will also go out as a podcast for people to enjoy as well. And I'm sure many people are going to enjoy your memoir, Shared Notes. Martin Hayes, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.